It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome in to another edition of America Outdoors Radio. I'm so glad you're here, and I don't know about you, but I'm excited to hit the water later this week for a tournament, bass fishing tournament. It is the Limit Out Marine Pro-Am. I'll be fishing from the back of the boat as an amateur angler on my home lake of Potholes Reservoir in eastern Washington. By the way, this tournament has got a pretty big payout. As a matter of fact, if we get 100 boats, there's actually going to be a Phoenix bass boat awarded to the boater slash pro, and the amateur can win up to $5,000. Hoping to cash a check in this one, mainly because I've never cashed a check yet, but hey, here's hoping I'm going to get a couple of good pros, learn a lot, and have a good shared weight with them. If you want to find out more about this tournament, just go to bigbasstrail.com. That's the website to go to, and sign up by the 21st. That's this Sunday. The tournament's taking place on the 25th and the 26th. Is going to be a ton of fun. This week on the show, we've got some really good guests for you. One of them is our friend Brooks Hansen with Camp Chef. Because spring is here, that means it's time to think about camping and fishing. And when it comes to fishing, you might want to do a shore lunch if you catch a mess of crappie or a trout or maybe a walleye or even a pike. So what do you use for that shore lunch? Well, Brooks has got some ideas. Camp Chef just happens to have several two-burner camp stoves available, and these are not your old green Coleman stoves. Oh no, these are much, much better than those that we grew up with as kids. In addition to this, Brooks will have another idea for your shore lunch too. Can you say Dutch oven? Oh yeah. You're going to be hungry after we talk to Brooks. I know I always am after these conversations. Right after that, we're going to talk to Bruce Watkins. He's the owner of Summit Tackle. This is a new company out of Idaho Falls, Idaho. And Bruce and I have a shared passion. That would be Alpine Lakes fishing. Both of us grew up hiking into lakes in the Northern Cascades and in the Rocky Mountains. And both of us came across the same problems. Broken rod tips or branches and sticks inside the reels, and just the awkwardness of lugging a fishing rod, usually a two-piece rod, broken down and strapped together with a rubber band, up and down the hiking trail, especially when you're navigating rocks or logs and that sort of thing. Bruce has solved this with a series of rods, both spinning rods and fly rods. He's got both telescopic rods and 3- and 4-piece pack rods that break down into cases. They come with some really nice reels too. And better still, we are giving away a fly rod, a pack fly rod with a fly reel and the case along with an extra prize too. And all you have to do to enter is just go to our website, AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Shoot me an email. The email address is info@AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Just let me know what station you're listening to, where you live, and you're entered for a chance to win this prize package worth over $200 from Summit Tackle. Bruce can tell you more about their rods and reels during the show today. And then we're going to talk to Faith Jolie. She's with the Utah Division of Natural Resources, and she wrote a great article about what to do if you come across a baby bird on the ground. It is that time of year where birds are leaving the nest, sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. And she's got some very good advice with different scenarios about exactly what you should do if you find a baby bird that appears to be orphaned in your backyard. Like I said, three great guests and three great topics. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at WorkSharp. And in case you didn't know, they have a whole line of knife sharpeners designed for your kitchen cutlery. They've both got manual pull-through knife sharpeners, and they've got electric knife sharpeners. I've got one of their knife sharpeners sitting on my counter right now. Use it all the time, and it's held up for several years. These are very reliable, they're rugged, and they're affordable too. So check them out at WorkSharpTools.com. That's the website to go to, WorkSharpTools.com. You'll also find WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores all over North America. Before we chat with our guest today, I wanted to share some outdoors news with you, and the news is related to chronic wasting disease. It's a real problem among our deer herds in much of America. It continues to spread across the country, and the disease ultimately results in death for the deer that contracted. the last stages make them look like zombies, and they call them zombie deer, these deer that are suffering from this disease shortly before they expire. It's common now to check in your deer at check stations on opening weekends, not just to make sure you're following the law, but also to take samples to make sure that your deer does not have chronic wasting disease. And the advice has always been from fish and game agencies that you should not eat any deer that's infected with chronic wasting disease, even though there has been no proven link between eating a deer with chronic wasting disease and contracting any sort of disease after you do. Well, that may have changed. From Field and Stream, we learned that a study has found that several hunters died after consuming chronic wasting disease infected venison. The study was published recently in the journal Neurology. The title of the study is Two Hunters from the Same Lodge Afflicted with Sporadic CJD. And then it goes on to say, is chronic wasting disease to blame? The authors of the study highlight a cluster of CJD cases, CJD being Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is known for its association with mad cow disease. Now, mad cow disease, as you know, is transmitted in cows through misfolded proteins called prions. And like chronic wasting disease, it causes a cascade of brain-related maladies that eventually lead to death in the cows unlucky enough to contract it. And as you may recall from about 20, 30 years ago, mad cow disease has been shown to transmit to human beings through the consumption of infected beef. And that disease, when it's manifest in people, is referred to as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD for short. Now let's fast forward to this lodge. It turns out an unnamed hunter contracted CJD after the regular consumption of venison from deer infected with chronic wasting disease. In 2022, a 72-year-old man with a history of consuming meat from a CWD-infected deer population presented with rapid onset confusion and aggression, which is a classic symptom of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Despite aggressive symptomatic treatment of seizures and agitations, the patient's condition deteriorated and he died within a month of the initial presentation. A postmortem was conducted and he was confirmed to have sporadic Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. Not only did he catch it, but one of his friends who ate venison from the same deer population also recently died from this same disease. The study doesn't reveal where the hunters who contracted the CJD lived and hunted, but it does note the three states with the largest distribution of CWD-infected deer herds by county are Kansas, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. The disease is also prevalent in Canadian deer herds. The authors of the study are quick to point out that the causation for the recent Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease case in hunters remains unproven, but their findings underscore the grave threats of consuming chronic wasting disease-infected meat and the importance of having that deer meat tested for CWD by your state fish and game agency whenever possible. So again, don't eat the meat of a CWD-infected deer, elk, or other ungulate, because for the first time, we now have a study that shows that, yes, it may cause CJD or the Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease in you, and that's going to kill you. Turning to other news, you've probably heard of albino deer before, but what about a golden walleye? Yes, there is such a thing. And from Target Walleye, we learned that one was recently caught in northern Green Bay. Lydia Doerr, a research technician at the Michigan DNR, said they netted and released a golden walleye, which she described as one in a million walleye, on Wednesday, April 10th. The walleye has a dark brown back, but the rest of the body is golden in color. How does the walleye end up that way? Well, according to Lydia Doerr, that walleye had a genetic mutation that affects the pigment of the lighter colored skin cell. So if you ever find yourself with a golden walleye, consider yourself lucky, and you might want to take that fish to a taxidermist. Stick around, we've got our conversation with Brooks Hansen with Camp Chef coming up right after this short word from our sponsors.
I'm Anthony Imparato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic Americans are looking to protect and provide for their families, now more than ever. Henry has over 200 rifles and shotguns to choose from, made in America or not made at all, and backed by a lifetime guarantee. Go to henryusa.com and order our free catalog, decals, and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com. Thank you, and God bless America.
Hunt of a Lifetime is a nationwide nonprofit organization dedicated to providing hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under who suffer from life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. These adventures make big differences in the lives of those who participate in them, and in many cases are literally a dream come true that brings hope and therapy to their lives. Find out more, get involved, or donate today at huntofalifetime.org. That's huntofalifetime.org. huntofalifetime.org.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Come explore the Dalles in Oregon for outdoors fun. Hike amongst the wildflowers, bike our riverfront trail, or visit the Gorge Discovery Center where you can enjoy a live raptor display, or even check out our National Neon Sign Museum. But don't forget the fishing. We've got salmon, steelhead, bass, walleye, and monster-sized sturgeon waiting just for you. When the day is done, tell those tall tales at one of our wineries, breweries, or restaurants, and plan your next adventure. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Brooks Hansen on the line with Camp Chef. A lot of folks are going out fishing. Some of them are in canoes in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness up in Minnesota. Others might be rafting down the Snake River in Hell's Canyon. Others still are in rivers and streams and lakes all across the nation. And at some point, you're going to get hungry. You're going to want to fry up some of your catch on shore, and that's called a shore lunch. Brooks, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks for having me on. You're right, it's fishing season is just starting to take off, getting out of that ice fishing mode, trying to get into regular fishing mode. And yeah, I was going to say battling ice off and runoff and trying to navigate all that. It's going to be a good year.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I know you're no stranger to shore lunches. When it comes to maybe frying up a trout or maybe a walleye, what's something you like to do on shore?
Man, there's so much you can do, but I think your traditional fried shore lunch is probably one of my favorite shore lunch meals. Whether you take the fillets, make sure it's deboned, get some small chunks of meat, get a batter. There's lots of different batters out there, whether it's wet or dry. There's all kinds of different secret recipes. Everybody's got a secret fish batter recipe, depending on what seasoning they put, whatever they use, and then fry it. There's people that will fry it in lard. There's people who fry it in different cooking oils, so I like to find what works best for me and what's available where I'm at.
And let's talk about seasoning. Are you a lemon pepper guy, or are you a basic salt, pepper, garlic guy, or what?
Oh, those are all good points. Salt, pepper, garlic goes good with everything. But when it comes to fish, I do like a little lemon pepper seasoning. I think that the natural herb, the lemon pepper, the citrus, is something that brings out the flavor in fish.
Well, let's talk about some of the camp stoves you have available that are perfect for putting in a boat. I guess we'll start off with your best seller, the Everest 2X. Tell our listeners about this.
Yeah, the Everest 2X is just an incredible stove. It's been one of our best sellers in the small suitcase style stoves for a number of years. The thing that makes it so unique is it's a high pressure stove. It's got a 20,000 BTU burner on both, two 20,000 BTU burners. So they're high pressure. So they get hot and they get hot fast. It's got a controllable knob, so you can turn it down to a simmer. It's just a robust, bomb-proof stove, and it's really about the burners and the amount of heat. You're trying to boil some water or maybe get some oil hot to fry fish in. You can do it so quick with that 20,000 BTUs.
And the windscreen is awfully handy. And of course, you don't need a match. It's a lightless ignition. So that's good too.
Yep.
Let's talk about one you've got on sale. And this one kind of covers a couple of bases. The Rainier 2X, it's on sale normally $200. Right now it's $129.99 online.
Yeah, you can get a great deal on the Rainier. The Rainier is a combo stove. It's got a grill griddle on one side, and then it's got an open burner on the other. It's still a small suitcase style stove that you can throw in the boat real easy and doesn't take up a ton of room. Still have the built-in windscreen as it folds up. You've got an 8,000 BTU burner on one side and then a 10,000 BTU tube burner that runs the grill and griddle on the other side. So a lot of versatility there. You know, you might want to just fry a fish on a hot plate in a little bit of butter, which is awesome. And then you can boil some water on the other side or a saucepan on the other side on the open burner. So a little more versatile than the Everest, but not as robust as far as burners and BTUs. Still an outstanding stove, and that's a heck of a buy on it right now.
Oh, absolutely. Now, one that's more expensive, about $390, but looks ideal if you are maybe a rafter, if you're concerned about weight and really want to cook for a crowd, the Mountaineer.
The Mountaineer is a great stove because it's aluminum. So when you hit the nail on the head there when you talked about a rafter, water's going to get in the boat. When you're hitting rapids, water's going to get in the boat, and water and steel usually don't mix if you don't dry it off, and you'll get a little rust. Well, the aluminum body is going to avoid all that. Plus, like you mentioned, weight, it's a lot lighter. It also is a high-pressure stove similar to the Everest, very similar burners, 20,000 BTUs. Matchless ignition. It can run off a bulk tank. You can also grab an adapter and run off a 1 pound tank. It's an awesome stove. It's more of a square body, still suitcase style. It's a little bit bigger than the Everest. One cool feature is it does have an accessory leg kit that you can purchase. And that leg kit, it kind of makes all the difference in the world. They're aluminum legs with built-in leg levelers. And it's a really, really cool stove. If you've got room in the boat, it's just so robust. It's also a great overlanding stove. There's a lot of overlanders that have fallen in love with that stove.
Oh, I can completely understand why. It is a thing of beauty, that's for sure, and I love the aluminum. All right, let's change topics from camp stoves to Dutch oven cooking. And I bring this up because it was, probably about 17 years ago, I was on a float trip with Steve Fleming, owner of Maha Outfitters. We were going down the John Day River, fishing for smallmouth bass, catching a whole bunch of smallmouth bass, by the way. But along the way, he had a Dutch oven in his drift boat, and he was cooking lasagna. And I was like a Pavlovian dog. I was salivating by the time we got to shore and he started setting up a table for lunch. There was like nothing better. Have you ever done that sort of shore lunch yourself?
Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff where we've hauled some Dutch ovens and maybe get a pot of potatoes. We've done, like you mentioned, lasagnas. You can do chicken and even fish. So, yeah, I think a Dutch oven doesn't take up a lot of room. One key component, though, is you got to have fire. So you got to make sure where you're rafting, you're not in fire restriction areas where you can have a fire. If there's a fire ring or control fire area. And it usually helps to pack some briquettes. I mean, that's usually what they're going to burn the hottest, some charcoal or briquettes to cook in the oven. And they're heavier, they're cast iron, but you can do so much in those ovens. They're an oven. A good buddy told me Dutch oven cooking is so easy and so fun once you get the hang of it. And he said, never lift the lid because if you're looking, you ain't cooking. And he said, there's three tips. If it smells burnt, it's burnt. If it smells done, it's done. If you can't smell anything at all, leave it alone. So there's your Dutch oven cooking tip.
Those are some wonderful Dutch oven cooking tips. I've got to ask, you mentioned cooking fish in a Dutch oven. I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
Well, have you ever slow cooked some fish, like steamed fish?
I guess I have not, believe it or not. I've eaten it before, but I've never done it myself.
Yeah, and if you don't pack a stove and you just have an oven and you have a little bit of charcoal, you can do that. Like if you wrap it in foil and kind of steam it like a trout, works really good. You put some lemon pepper in there, maybe a lemon. Kind of like the same idea as you roast it over the fire. You can do it in an oven to be a little cleaner. The other thing, too, is you can still pack a little bit of oil and use that pot as your fry basket or your fry pot.
Gotcha.
And you can fry up some fish in the oven just as well.
Every time we have a conversation, I walk away hungry, and you've done it to me again, Brooks. Anything else folks should know about Camp Chef and some of the camp stoves and Dutch ovens you've got for sale?
I would just say, you know, don't be afraid to get out and try new things. And if you're looking for any type of outdoor cooking experience or equipment, check out campchef.com because we have everything that you need to cook outdoors.
You absolutely do. And folks, you'll also find Camp Chef products in quality sporting goods stores, including the big box stores all over North America. But again, don't miss out on this deal for the Rainier 2X. Now, this one is online. $129.99 for the Rainier 2X. Great combo stove. You're going to love this one, but you can only get it at CampChef.com. That's CampChef.com. Just go to the shop tab, look for stoves and ovens, and buy one today. Brooks, always a pleasure, sir, to have you on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And happy fishing this spring.
Absolutely.
Let me introduce you to the Camp Chef High Pressure Outdoor Cooker Line. We built this line of cookers with those summer seafood boils in mind. Whether you're looking to boil for a large group or just for the family, there's a high-pressure outdoor cooker built for everyone to enjoy. They come in four different sizes, from 30 quarts all the way to 100 quarts. Put that in perspective, that's 15 pounds of crawfish in the 30 quart and 50 pounds of crawfish in the 100 quart. So no matter how large your party is, you'll have the right tool for the job. These all-in-one kits include a high output burner, a boiling pot, and a basket with a twist drain strainer for ease of use. Each cooker is equipped with an electric push-button ignition and a powerful burner for a faster boil. If you're looking for the right tool to take on your next cookout, the Camp Chef high-pressure outdoor cookers are for you.
Hunt of a Lifetime is a nationwide nonprofit organization dedicated to providing hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under who suffer from life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. These adventures make big differences in the lives of those who participate in them, and in many cases are literally a dream come true that brings hope and therapy to their lives. Find out more, get involved, or donate today at huntofalifetime.org. That's huntofalifetime.org. huntofalifetime.org.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. We told you at the top of the hour we're doing a giveaway today, a packable fly rod and reel from Summit Tackle. And now we've got the owner on the line. That would be Bruce Watkins coming at us today from Idaho Falls, Idaho. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the opportunity.
So, Bruce, I'm really glad you reached out to me to tell me about your spinning rods and fly rods that are very lightweight. They are very packable, take up very little space. They're perfect for the backcountry angler going in, whether on foot or on horseback or in an ATV, or the traveling angler who wants to pack something maybe in their carry-on wherever they might be going. This is really good stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what we designed the rods for. I grew up fishing in the North Cascades and now live here in Southeast Idaho. I fish the Teton River as well as the Alpine Lakes here in the Tetons and Yellowstone. And I've always found it a bit of a challenge to carry those rods in the underbrush and along the riverbanks. And so we decided as a small team to come up with a rod that was compact and transportable, but very durable. And also the rods themselves have carbon spine, but we put a fiberglass tip on, which makes them very fishable for the species that we're targeting, including trout and bass. We also have gone the same direction with fly rods and found that the fly rods are also very fishable and castable. The rods were designed to be packed into a small case, so they fit in a backpack. They fit behind the saddle of a horse, easily fit on the front or back of an ATV, or of course a side-by-side where there's more room, and also fit very well on a mountain bike if you're a mountain biker getting into the Alpine Lakes.
I hadn't even thought of that last option, but that makes perfect sense. You know, you and I are of a similar age, and I also grew up with a love of hiking into Alpine Lakes and the Cascade Mountains and also the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, but definitely had some misfires along the way. Vividly remember going on a three-day hike in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, high elevation, had an old fiberglass rod, put it in my backpack, and You know what happened. I broke off that tip within the first couple of miles trying to duck under a log, and that made for not so fun fishing after that. And, you know, otherwise you just kind of take your normal fishing rod and put a rubber band on it, put it in half, and try to lug it along so you never have that hand free. And again, sometimes accidents happen and rods break, but you've really solved it with these rods here. I mean, you sent me some rods to test. And the telescopic rods, compared to the telescopic rod I have, night and day difference. The old school telescopic rod I had, you know, it was tough, but it was kind of like casting just a thick wooden stick. Your telescopic rods, both the fly rod and the spinning rod, love the medium action on them. They just cast really well.
So we designed the telescopic fly rods in two weights. The rod that I quite frankly like the most is a smaller 7.5 foot. It's a 2-3 weight fly rod, and I use that in the Alpine Lakes. I think that your description of breaking the tip off a rod is all too familiar. I think anybody who's packed into the Alpine Lakes has done that at one time or another and found fishing a bit of a challenge with partial rod.
Oh, yes.
So we design these rods to be really compact, but they're also very fishable. With the right line weight on there and the right fly combination, they're very castable as well. We found that the same solution worked for us for the telescopic spinning and the four-piece spinning rods. And I've actually found that the smaller of the fly rods and the four-piece spinning rods have the same feel as a two-piece or even a solid rod. They've been outstanding for performance here in the Tetons.
Let's talk about the other spinning rods. So you'd sent me this pack rod, and I got to tell you, I really like it. It's four pieces. It's 6.5 feet long. It has a fast action tip, medium light overall action. And I'm fishing this, you know, tossing spinners for trout, and I'm thinking, this would be perfect for tube baits and smallmouth bass. And I actually am going to be fishing a tournament at the end of April. Probably going to take that rod and reel along for just that very thing. And speaking of the reel, you know, the reel on these spinning rods, it's really nice. I mean, it's small and compact. It fits right in the case with the rods. It's really smooth. And I love the fact that, you know, most spinning reels, if you're going to fit them into a small space, you have to basically screw the handle off, you know, or unscrew the handle, I should say, to take it off. But on your reel, you literally push a button and that handle folds right in. Ingenious.
So on the reels, we work directly with the factory, and this is a 5-bearing+1 reel. It's an excellent quality reel. I've used this reel since we started our prototyping, which is about a year ago. And I found the same exact thing you found. The reel is very smooth. The drag action is very smooth. And that little part about folding the reel handle back has worked great for us. And that way you can put it back into the case and not have to worry about taking your entire rod down and storing it without the reel being on it. We just leave the reel on, throw it in the case, and off you go. It's not just a time saver, but it also is an equipment saver. So it keeps the dust out of the reel, keeps, of course, the branches out of the reel, which everybody who's hiked up in the Alpines with an exposed reel and rod know that you're going to end up with pine needles and branches and twigs in your equipment, as well as the dust from the trail. So the actions, we are very happy about. I personally tested every one of these as a prototype before they went into production. I've fished some of the smaller rivers like the Teton, and I've also fished on the South Fork. We found the rods to be very castable as well as compact, so I'm confident that people that are fishing the Alpine Lakes can make that long cast for the deeper, further out trout.
Let's talk a little bit about the fly rod reels too. Again, very lightweight, very smooth. What's the material they're made out of?
So the fly reels are CNC machined aluminum. They're a very high quality reel. We are very happy with the actions on those. The fly rods themselves are just like the spinning rods. They have a carbon backbone and a fiberglass tip. We decided to go with high grade components. So the cork and the reel seats have been upgraded. The guides are also upgraded. We worked through, I believe, 4 prototypes before we found a rod that we were happy enough with that we could put into production.
Well, the bottom line is this, folks. If you were in the market for a rod to take on your next backcountry trip, or if you were flying somewhere and want to take something in your carry-on or your baggage, you got to check out Summit Tackle. The website to go to, summittackleco.com. That's summittackleco.com. Again, they've got telescopic fly rods. They've got pack rods and various lengths. They've got a four-piece spinning rod that we just told you about. And they've also got a telescopic spinning rod too. They come in durable cases that are going to keep your rods and your reels safe. And we are giving away one today. So here's how to enter. All you have to do, if you want a chance to win a Summit Tackle Fly Combo, that's going to be a fly rod and a fly reel and the case, along with a vacuum-sealed sport bottle that you can use to have water in it. It's got the Summit logo on it. All you have to do is just go to our website, AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, and shoot me an email. The email address is info@AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, and all you have to do is just say, I listen to you on this station, or I listen to you, you know, from wherever you're listening, whether it be Little Rock, Arkansas, or Seattle, Washington, or Idaho Falls, Idaho, or anywhere else. That's all you have to do to enter. We're going to go ahead and announce the winner on April 25th, and with any luck, it might be you. So enter today. Again, just go to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, shoot us an email, and let us know what station you're listening to and where you live, and you're entered for a chance to win this package that is worth over $200 for Summit Tackle. So get to it. Go ahead and enter. And again, check out the website, summittackleco.com. That's summittackleco.com. And look into buying a packable spinning rod or fly rod today. Bruce, really like what you got here, and thanks for sharing it with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
In other news, gotta give it up for our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. They've come up with something very unique. It's the Garden Gun Smoothbore 22 caliber lever action rifle. Now, the Henry Garden Gun is one that you use if you are trying to deal with mice or maybe snakes on your property. And obviously, if you live in the city, this isn't going to work out for you. But if you live in the country and want to get rid of some of these pests, this is the perfect rifle for you. It actually uses a 22 caliber long-range shot shell. And because it's a smoothbore and doesn't have rifling, it distributes the projectiles in a really tight pattern that's going to work great for getting rid of those pests. Throw in the fact it's got a 15-round capacity, and there's plenty of pest control to go around. It only weighs 5.25 pounds. Like all of the firearms from Henry Repeating Arms, it's made in the USA. It looks great. It comes with a lifetime satisfaction guarantee. So check it out. You can find out more details at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com. And don't forget to ask for your free decals and catalog while you're there.
Explore the Dalles, the hub where discovery and history come together. Whether the Northwest is your home or you're on an adventure, the Dalles welcomes you. Just 80 miles east of Portland is the perfect year-round escape with a community that cares about you. 300 days of sun, breathtaking outdoor recreation, and a downtown full of the unexpected. Oh, and the rich history that began before the Oregon Trail. Start planning at explorethedalles.com.
When you think of WorkSharp knife and tool sharpeners, you probably think of sharpeners for the shop or the field, but WorkSharp has a whole lineup of sharpeners for the kitchen, too. We're talking about everything from easy-to-use manual and electric knife sharpeners to ceramic honing rods, whetstones, and the new rolling knife sharpener, an innovative manual sharpener that will do wonders for your cutlery. Make sure there's never a dull moment in your kitchen. Check out the entire product line and order today at WorkSharpTools.com. That's WorkSharpTools.com.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now. They're truly Alaska's best lodge. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales. And let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might get away.
You know, you see a huge group of people and maybe they're in line to do something and they seem happy about it. You have to wonder, okay, what am I missing? What's going on here? What are these people excited about? Well, in this case, it's thousands of people and they're joining MediShare. Why? Well, MediShare is a much more affordable alternative to health insurance. It's reliable too. It's a well-run community of Christians. They've been sharing each other's medical expenses for more than 30 years. And if you switch, you'll likely save hundreds of dollars a month. Most members wind up paying about half what they used to. And you know what? They find they like it better. MediShare's member satisfaction rate is 98%. That's way better than health insurance, as you might imagine. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. You get telehealth 24/7. Huge freedom in choosing your doctors. At least check into it. This may be one of those things where you're like, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why not start saving now? Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, it is springtime, and whether you're in the backyard or just walking around in the field, you might find a baby bird on the ground. You might be wondering, what do I do with this? I want to make sure it's okay. Well, it turns out the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources just published an article on this very subject to tell you exactly what you should do. And with us here to tell you more is Faith Jolly with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Faith, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
So I've gone through this before. I think a lot of our listeners have too. And this article really breaks down some really good rules of thumb. So for example, if you find a baby bird on the ground and it doesn't have any feathers, what do you do?
Yes. So like you said, a lot of people run into this in the springtime. So we really wanted to be specific so people don't really question what they're supposed to do. So yeah, again, if it's on the ground, it does not have feathers, you can put it back in its nest. So there's kind of a common misconception with some other wildlife species, it's more of a concern. But with birds, you actually don't have to be concerned about touching it or leaving your scent on the bird. So a lot of birds don't have a good sense of smell. So you can pick up a baby bird. Its parents won't even know it's been handled. So yes, essentially just pick up that little bird if you can catch it and put it safely back on, you know, the branch, or if you can find the nest, that's even better. Put it back right there in the nest.
You know, it's funny you say that. That's a misconception I've held my entire life. It's just something I think that gets passed down, is that if you handle any animal, including a bird, that it'll be abandoned by its, you know, its parents. So good to know that that's not the case. Now, on the other hand, if you find a baby bird that has feathers on it, different rule applies.
Yes. So if it has feathers, these ones are called fledglings. The other ones are called nestlings, if you want to get really bird nerd. But yes, if it has feathers, it's not technically a baby anymore. And actually, they have most of their flight feathers at that point, and they're getting close to being able to fly. So we actually recommend just leaving those ones alone. If, you know, typically they can hop around, they're a little more mobile, they're getting close to being able to fly on their own. So if it's not in danger, we recommend just actually leave it where you found it. And this is kind of its normal, natural process it's going through before it starts flying. So let it hop around, you know, let it kind of build up its strength to start its own flight. The parents are still in the area watching it. They're still feeding it. Again, if it is in immediate danger, so if it's hopped into a road or something, for instance, then yes, pick it up and kind of move it out of danger's way. But, you know, if you can't catch it, if it's hopping around really quick, just leave it alone because they're mobile and they'll be fine.
Next one, and I was guilty of this with my family. You know, you find the baby bird, you put it in the shoebox, you put some grass in there, and then you try to feed it something, whether it be bird seed or if it's a robin like we had, you try to feed it worms. But your agency recommends don't feed the birds.
Yes, I know. I'm like, unfortunately, Snow White kind of ruined this for all of us, right? We all just have this inclination that we want little tiny cute animals to come into our homes and we'll take care of them. And if we get lucky, they'll do our laundry, right? But yes, that's one of the big things we recommend. Don't bring it inside. Don't feed it. You know, they're fine. And in fact, it actually can be more harmful a lot of times if people are trying to feed, you know, birds and other wildlife. They have really specific diets. So feeding them something that's not part of their diet can actually kill them. So another misconception is that baby birds eat worms. Well, in fact, robins and like a few other bird species can safely eat worms, but a lot of others don't, and they can't eat worms. So again, you know, people, we know they have good intentions. They're trying to help the wild animals, but it really does usually do more harm than good. So again, don't try to feed it. Don't try to take it inside or take it home. Just put it back on a branch or in its nest. Or again, if it's got feathers, it's hopping around, just leave it alone and let it do its thing.
What about baby ducks? What if you find a little yellow duckling?
Yes. So kind of similar advice is with other little baby birds. If you find one that looks like it's separated, you know, people always get concerned if they can't see the mother duck nearby. You know, they're fine. They're typically not too far off. So if it looks like it's been separated, don't try to move it. Don't try to take it to a pond. Just leave it in the area. Its mom's going to come back and find it. So the only time you should intervene with baby ducks is if they are trapped somewhere dangerous. So if you hear them chirping down in a storm drain, they've gotten washed down. Or if they're trapped in a swimming pool and the sides are steep, there's not a good place for them to get out. Those are times that you should intervene, right? But otherwise, just leave it alone. And even if it's in a storm drain, right, the average Joe probably can't access a storm drain.
Right.
So call, you know, local city officials to come and help in that situation.
All right. Now, let's talk about not necessarily baby birds. Well, I guess we are still kind of talking about baby birds. Let's talk about bird nests. You know, sometimes a bird nest might be built on a home or building. You know, swallows in particular like to do this. But you're recommending don't move those nests, especially if they're on buildings, right?
Yes. So this is maybe another common misconception that people have. Because most bird species are migratory, they are protected under federal migratory bird laws. And so part of those laws dictate that it actually is illegal to move or disturb a bird nest that has eggs or baby birds in it. And you can actually be cited for doing that. So we know, right, if a bird builds a nest on your porch and it's pooping all over your doorstep, or if it, you know, something like that. Obviously, that's a nuisance, right? And we understand that. But you actually cannot take measures to move it until those birds have hatched and flown and left the nest. And then you can remove the nest, knock it down. And we recommend just take note of that, right? And then after they've left, take measures to prevent them from nesting there again. You know, we don't want people to have damage to their property or to have to deal with a big issue or nuisance like that. So yeah, take those measures to prevent it. But yeah, if there are eggs or baby birds in the nest, you do actually just have to wait it out until they've hatched and they've moved on.
Last but not least, we should talk about avian flu. I mean, this is becoming an issue, especially with waterfowl. And songbirds, are they typically affected with avian flu as well?
Yeah, so fortunately, songbirds are not usually affected by high pathogenic avian flu viruses. So yeah, it does typically, like you mentioned, it mostly impacts waterfowl in kind of the wild bird species. And then it has obviously really impacted some of our domestic bird species, you know, chickens and domestic ducks, things like that have been really susceptible to the virus. And we've seen that all over the news, right? And part of why egg prices have gone up, skyrocketed. But yeah, fortunately, songbirds aren't typically as impacted. So, you know, as the avian flu has kind of swept across the U.S., people shouldn't have to remove bird feeders or, you know, backyard bird baths, things like that should be fine to keep out. Just, you know, we always recommend that you do regularly clean those bird feeders and baths just to prevent any other potential diseases. And then we do recommend if for whatever reason you do happen to see several dead birds in your backyard, that is something that we always recommend you report to your local wildlife agency just so they can come and do some disease testing and kind of see what's going on there.
Well, if you want to find out more about this topic, just Google Wild Aware Utah, and you'll find information about baby birds and a whole lot more about wildlife that applies not just to our listeners in Utah, but listeners all over the country. Faith, thank you so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, a couple of reminders for you before we go. Number one, if you live out west, we're talking Oregon, Washington, Northern California, Idaho, maybe even Western Montana, and you own a bass boat, you really ought to consider coming out to my home lake of Potholes Reservoir in eastern Washington to fish a couple of tournaments. The deadline to register for both of them is this weekend, April 21st. The first is a Pro-Am tournament. It's being put on by Limit Out Performance Marine. And if we have 100 teams participating, the pro or the boat owner fishing the tournament that wins is going to win a $50,000 bass boat, a Phoenix bass boat, no less, with a 150 horsepower motor. That is one heck of a prize. As for the amateur angler fishing on the back of the boat, well, that angler will get a $5,000 paycheck. The dates for this tournament, April 25th and April 26th, and the following week, May 4th and 5th, we've got a big bass tournament with hourly payouts. And again, if we've got 100 boats, the biggest bass that's caught over the weekend is going to be worth $10,000. Now that is a bass worth fishing for. You can find out more and sign up today at BigBassTrail.com. That's BigBassTrail.com for the Pro-Am and Big Bass tournaments taking place at Mardon Resort in Potholes Reservoir in Grant County, Washington. One more reminder is about that giveaway we're doing this weekend, courtesy of Summit Tackle. We are giving away a four-piece fly rod. It's a pack rod, comes in a sturdy little case. It includes a fly reel, and it retails for $179. In addition to this, we're throwing in a, I think it's a 32-ounce vacuum-sealed insulated water bottle with the Summit logo on it. Total prize package worth over $200. All you have to do to enter is just go to our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com and shoot me an email. Just let me know where you're from, what station you're listening to, and you are entered for a chance to win. We will announce the winners on our Facebook page on April 25th and on the air next weekend. On that note, it is time to go, but here's hoping, like me, you're going to be doing some fishing, tournament fishing, as a matter of fact, at that very Pro-Am we just discussed. But any fishing will do. It's also turkey hunting season for a lot of you out there, and it's just a great time to be out on the trails or out on the water, so take advantage of it. After all, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.